Your love is devoted, like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. And your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been.
Hello, and welcome to this special bonus episode of the Power of Singing podcast with the Santosha Voice Group. All five of us are happy to be here today. My name is Susan Mulheney Kane. Rich McKinney is here from Missouri. Joseph Gadate is here from LA. And Heather Petro is here from the DC area. And Joyce Wells is here from New York. So we're here from all over the country. And today we're going to do a special bonus podcast on in honor of Mother's Day. And our special guest today is an amazing, talented singer and mother of three, Miranda,
who you hear singing Ever Be by Bethel Music and Kelly Heiligenthal. Near the end of this episode, Miranda's microphone started going in and out a bit, but we kept it in because what she is saying there is so poignant and timely. Thank you for understanding.
And your strength becomes our own. Now you're making me like you. Clothing being white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride, free of all the guilt and rid of all the shame, and known by her true name. And it's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. And you will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you.
I had the honor of meeting Miranda when she was just a teenager. And we both lived in Kentucky. Miranda studied voice with me back when I was teaching at Murray State University. And back then, she was a regular winner of vocal competitions all over the county and the state. And actually the whole area, the Kentucky, Tennessee area. And that was, it was such a great honor to be able to teach her and to get to know her back when she was just a kiddo herself. I also got to teach her sweetheart, Dustin, way back then. And these two talented musicians did eventually get married. And these two talented musicians did have three talented kiddos. And not surprisingly, raising these three kiddos took the bulk of Miranda's time for the last few years. And about a year ago, she reached out to me after many years. We hadn't been in touch at all. And she reached out to me because she wanted to get her voice back in shape and start taking voice lessons again. And that was, I mean, such an amazing surprise and a delight. And since then, she's just come a long way getting back in shape. She's joined her community choir. She did her first Messiah this year, and she's been asked to do solos in the choir. They recognize her talent right away. She sung on a recording, which she'll tell you about, because her talented husband's a sound producer and composer in the Nashville area. And now she's recorded a piece for this podcast. So she's come a really, really long way in a really, really short time. And so I'd like to introduce Miranda to just say a few words before we start asking her our thoughtful questions about motherhood and singing. So Miranda, would you like to say a few words? Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here, honored to be here, honored to meet all of you, and just thrilled to be singing again. So this feels like a very full circle moment, but yet a first time opportunity for me to do anything like this. And so a little nervy, not going to lie, this morning, but really excited too. I think more excited than I am nervous. So thank you all for having me.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Let's go ahead and get started with our questions. Then I would like to invite beautiful soprano Heather Fetro to the stage to ask her question.
Well, it's so nice to meet you, Miranda. I don't have a beautiful accent like you do. I am envious of those lovely accents that just kind of pull us into a different place. So it's great to hear your voice already, your speaking voice, lovely. And my question for you is, how does your return to singing have an impact on your life as a whole, including your role as a mother?
Thank you, Heather. That is a multifaceted question for sure. As I was thinking through this question right now, this morning in particular, my youngest, so I have three children. My oldest is 18. She's about to graduate from high school and pursue college. And then I have a little boy in the middle who's 11. And then my youngest is 8. So Cohen is my oldest, Drake is in the middle, and Sloan is my baby. And she fell ill on Friday after school with a really terrible sore throat. And so all of my plans for the weekend, including this morning, because she's home, not feeling well, were shifted and changed. You know, just everything has to be flux. So the first part of my question is, you know, the flexibility of becoming a mom was something I realized from day one having Cohen, because actually the summer Cohen was born, I sang in 8 weddings that summer, I believe, from May until July when she was born. And I remember the last wedding that I sang in thinking, I'm glad this is the last wedding because she's sitting right on my diaphragm and I don't think I can do one more wedding. but it was just something that I did right up until I had her. Something that I started doing when I was probably 6 or 7. I got my first solo in church. And it was something that I enjoyed doing, but then just continued to do as my choir director there in at church, my children's choir director, encouraged me to keep singing. So I had ample opportunities that just continued throughout my life. And so I would say that after Cohen was born, singing was something that I would do to her, rocking her to sleep at night and things like that. But it became something that kind of almost fell away in the newness of, you know, bringing a child into the world just rocks your world and everything that you thought you knew about yourself and everything that you maybe hoped and dreamed for. I was way too young to prepare my brain and my heart for any of that. As far as making, I didn't have a sort of game plan. It was just like, you know, she was going to be this amazing gift. And so when she came, she just overtook our world, you know, in the best way. And so, I think in a nutshell, the biggest thing is just knowing that life is going to throw things every second of every day my way that might change the course of plans for singing or performing, but alongside of that, my husband has been a champion to encourage me to do it again, because it brings me so much joy, and he has helped make time and space for me to pursue singing again. And my husband has hired someone to help us with our kids so that I can actually have time to devote to this. I say we, not my husband, but he geared up to encourage me to find someone to help me, so that now she's inside watching Frozen being cared for while I'm sitting here with you all. So I'm very fortunate to have had his support and continued support. As I said, he even set up everything out here in his studio, which is another really great perk of marrying a musician. So, I hope I answered that in a roundabout way.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's just so neat to hear your personal experiences, because singing is so personal to each of us. So I really appreciate that candidness that you're willing to share with us. And it was a beautiful answer. I love the honesty. I love that. So thank you. Thanks, Miranda. And I'm so happy you're back to singing. It's really exciting. I hope it continues to be really rewarding for you. And I'll pass it off to whoever has the next question.
I wanted to do a quick follow-up, Miranda. Since just in the last year, have you noticed making this be a priority for yourself in the last year? Has that made a difference in your family life in any way?
Absolutely. Quick story. I had, as everyone else probably did during COVID, there were a lot of unexpected things, you know, and internal things that you realized about others and yourself. As the whole world was kind of in a pressure cooker in many different ways. And there's a saying that I heard long ago. I don't recall who said it to me, but it's you need to deal with your stuff, or your stuff will deal with you. And I kind of feel like in the midst of COVID, what started to deal with me was the lack of joy I had in my life, and the heightened anxiety and worry, and quite frankly, just mental toll that it took on me. Routine is something that I kind of thrive in. And especially as a mother, when you kind of, a stay-at-home mom in particular, when I get somewhat of a routine down, I do have to be flexible, but I think that the biggest thing that I realized in that was one day I was driving, and I was praying and singing just along to the radio, and I just started to talk to God and say, where did I lose my joy? I'm so in need of joy. I have everything to be joyful about. And there was a little bit of a shame even tied to that, you know, because so many in the world were hurting. And that's another layer of the bigger picture. We had just moved into our brand new home, which is our dream home that my husband helped, you know, design and build, something that we had always wanted to do. So in the midst of COVID in April, we moved into this home. So not only did we have, you know, a healthy family and a great marriage and this beautiful home here in Tennessee, it was just, I still lacked joy. And so in that moment when I was praying, I just was like, where did I leave it? Where did I lay it down? And where did it go? And in my spirit, I just felt the Lord say, sing for joy, Miranda, sing. And it hit me all at once in that moment that I had just stopped. I had stopped singing to my kids at night. I had stopped, you know, occasionally in the car by myself on the radio, but you know, I wasn't making it a priority to really hone that joy that I had always had. And so, what has changed in our family is that I have that back, because I have that, you know, as we've talked about, Dr. Kane, that little girl inside me that was just longing for me to sing again, because it's something I've always learned to do. I just decided to listen to her, and with the encouragement of my husband, and just reconsidering that part of myself that I had just laid down for the sake of my kids, when I realized that is something that, you know, is very important facet. It's who I am. It's just who I am. It's not even a part of who I am. And I wasn't fully being myself. So that has changed everything in our house because I'm happier. I'm happier singing than not. But when the world feels like it's coming down around you, it's hard to know, to pinpoint, you know, what's causing that feeling. And so for me, it was open your mouth and sing.
Oh, that's such a beautiful answer. Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. Okay, Joseph, you're up.
Hi there. What I was curious about was, you know, when you first had your children, and you know, I think I know this from experience, when you have a child, you know, that you have your first child is like, you know, it's completely, you know, it's a complete 180 in your life, you know, and the lifestyle, or at least this is getting to my question, but that what you think your lifestyle is going to be, what you think it's going to be, is a complete revolution, right? You all this sort of planning and worrying and, you know, all these things that you think you're going to have to change, maybe like external pressures, people talking to you, well, you should really do this and you should do that. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the culture around you or it's your family, your parents, your partner, whoever. And what I'm wondering about is, not only as an artist, but also as a person, you know, how did you, what were some of those feelings you had at first? And you can kind of think about that, you know, relate that to your singing, but also just kind of generally, what were some of those initial kind of, whether they were fears or joys and excitements, you know, how are you kind of dealing with all of that? And the kind of follow-up that I have to that is, what would you, if you could go back and tell that person something now, what would you tell her? You know, was she right? Was she wrong to feel some of those things? Did she only have part of the story correct? You know, all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, that's a great question. I think I have a very vivid memory of bringing Cohen home, and we actually had moved in with my parents right before she was born, because my husband was about to go on a tour, and he was going to be gone about, it was close to 5 months. And so we sold our home, which was basically across the highway from my parents, and moved into their basement, so that, you know, we could just have some financial security and I could have some close support while he was pursuing a record deal at the time. And so I remember holding her in her room that we had set up for her in the basement, and thinking to myself, this is what it feels like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I would lay down in front of a truck for another human, that I would do anything for her. And it just hit me as I snuggled her and kissed her, like I would do anything for her. And so that feeling just of knowing that that much love could be inside of me for another human was overwhelming as a 24-year-old at the time. I was pretty young, some would say, to get married. We got married. I was 21 and we had her at 24. My husband's about 3 years older than me, so we were very young. And I think that if I could go back and tell myself something, especially in that season in particular, I was scared because he was going to be gone. But I had the support of my family, and I think that at the time, I didn't know any differently. So I look back on her as a young mom myself, and I'm proud of that for how young I was. But if I could tell her anything any differently, I would say, I'm proud of you for being strong and brave, and also for, it was in me to make sure that my husband got to pursue what he felt in his heart was his dreams full force at the time. So, we're a team, and whatever that meant and whatever that looked like, I knew everything was going to be okay. But it was a huge sacrifice for the first 5 months, her being so small and him being gone. And so I'm really proud of myself. I also, I think if I could go back and tell her something, I would just probably tell her to take more time for herself, and breathe and know that there would be time and space one day to reflect on how strong, you know, I was, and but also to continue to sing. I think if I could go back and tell myself anything in any of those seasons with my kids would be just don't stop singing, you know. But it's hard. It's hard when, like you said, your world is turned upside down and everything that you need, you put aside for that other human being. So,
yeah, I know that you reflected on this a little bit already, but do you remember having any of those real time thoughts of like, did you even want to sing?
There came a point when you're kind of found out, so to speak, then everyone wants you to sing everywhere all the time, especially in church, you know, every solo that comes up, it's in every Easter Sunday and all the things. Which I did enjoy, but there was also such a pressure I put on myself, not just in singing, but I think I'm firstborn, and I just always put a lot of pressure on myself to excel and not to and to make everyone proud. I don't know if that's a Southern thing or just the thing that was in me was, you know, just to make my family proud. And so singing was kind of intertwined in that in not really a healthy way. And so there were moments that I would enjoy myself and then moments where I felt it was expected of me. And that became almost a little bit of a resentment and burden feeling. And so I think subconsciously now, just thinking back on all of it and actually processing it, with you guys here, because I've only processed it probably in part with Dr. Kane and many of my lessons, half of my lesson is just processing through some of the yuck that was a part of why I laid singing down, because I hadn't really let myself feel that or realize that. So, excuse me, to just reflect on that and really think about that. I think there was a lot of unhealthy things that were tied to why I laid it down in the first place, for sure.
I'll hand it on over. Thank you, Joseph.
And thank you, Joseph.
Joyce.
Hi, Miranda. This is really wonderful to be with you. And even though I don't have children, I can relate a lot to what you have said because of the, I just feel like there are seasons in, you know, in life where you sing and other times when you don't sing. And it's a very interesting, energetic thing because it does make such a big difference. And I'm so happy to hear that you're singing again. And I can only imagine that you haven't told us all about what all that has brought to you, because there's not time for everything, but it's wonderful. And my question has to do with, I believe I understand that you sing and you also write songs. And so my question has to do with that, but how does being a mother who is a singer affect the content of your songs, if it affects it at all, like what you want to sing, what you choose to sing, and how does your love for your children that you just described so beautifully just now influence, if it has influenced, the content of the message that you want your music to give to the world? That's my question.
Thank you, Joyce. Yes, it's funny. I'm not a writer per se, as far as, I don't have an instrument that I'm proficient at, as far as mechanically speaking, playing an instrument.
Rich has to say that you do have an instrument, right, Rich?
Yes. You were yes. Just, that's yeah, why you... I said mechanically. Yes, sir. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes. I have written songs because I hear melodies in my head and I write things down and then I try and either pick them out on the piano or sometimes I'll, just noodle around with those. But the content is, for me, music that I listen to and music that I share with my kids, it's important for me that I'm always telling them to pay attention to how it makes you feel. I'm just a huge empath and music affects me so deeply in my soul and in my heart. And then that travels to, lyrics are a huge part too of music, but it's very important for me to teach them how it makes them feel, I guess. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a bit, may sound a little bit heavy for some because music, makes you feel all different kinds of ways. Right. But, I want them to pay attention to, what brings them joy about music.
Yeah.
And what makes them feel alive and what makes them feel purposeful and what makes them feel, able to share and give from that place. And so the content, as far as, it's real, if I could say that. I can't sing about something or play something for them or listen to something that, that I feel like is not authentic. So from a performance standpoint, if I don't identify with it and connect with it and feel with it, then I don't tend to want to perform it because it would be fake. But from a listening standpoint and listening to music with them, we love to listen to all types of music, musicals. And, I play classical for them. We play rock and roll. In the summertime, we listen to yacht rock nonstop by the pool. They hear everything. My daughter takes them to school and listens to Fleetwood Mac, they know all of the Fleetwood Mac songs. My son loves Queen and sings Bohemian Rhapsody all the time and wants to play it on the piano. We're very, just all types of music. We love it all.
Well, my heart is just going like this as you're giving your answer, because as you know, in this group in particular, the group of the five of us, we're really all about everything you've been talking about today, the power of singing, but in particular, understanding that power so that, you can help the world with it. And so I just love that that's what you are giving to your children from out of your soul, because, from my point of view, that is just the best thing you could do. And it's beautiful to hear you articulate it that way. And that it still is so open for all the different kinds of music that they might like to, but that you're teaching them that it sounds like you're modeling and teaching them that there is a power there that they can, can affect them and that they can use for others.
For sure. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Joyce.
Yeah, that is really very special. Thank you, Joyce, for that great insight as well. And the question, because it takes us to content and lyrics as well as the feelings and also listening and performing and being exposed to. I mean, that's just a lot. I thought that was beautiful all the way around. Thank you so much. And the way you choose your repertoire, which we'll get to when we get to my question, that's also affected. So it's time to pass it now to thank you again, Joyce, and pass it now to Rich.
I will say this. I have underusing, but I have underused marriage. And you have connected to every one of us so quickly and so gracefully. And you were an inspiration to me. And I'm really sorely in need of those inspirations these days. So I thank you for that.
Awesome. Rich, thank you so much.
And now I'm excited to introduce a song written from the perspective of Abraham Lincoln's mother. This is Miranda Burnett singing Nancy Hanks by Catherine K. Davis, accompanied by Jennifer McGuire. What a lovely, lovely song. You know, Miranda sang this before she even had, before Cohen was even a glimmer in her eye. You know, when she was still the teenager worried about all sorts of teenage things. And now she's reworked it like from the ground up as a mom. And so my question to you is, what is the difference between singing the song back then and singing the song for us today?
Yes. This is a really great question to reflect on as I'm singing this and practicing this, because I realized, you know, Abraham Lincoln is one that has done a lot for our country and changed the course of history. So as a 14-year-old learning that song, I did have a revere and an honor and respect for who he was and for a person who would have raised him, give birth to him. And so that perspective as a 14-year-old, just knowing who he was historically, played into how I approached the song, as I felt, you know, I felt the honor in the words of who he was and who his mother knew in her heart he would become. And but the that kind of changed singing it now as a mother. You know, back then I kind of have to sing it from a perspective of what my mom must have felt about my brother, right? I have one sibling, he's 5 years younger than me. And so I can remember trying to just feel what my mom would feel like toward my brother, which my parents are amazing and they've always been super supportive and loving. So that was not for me to go there and sing from that headspace and heart space. And then now as a mother, feeling what I feel, singing the words that she sang about her baby boy, having a baby boy, there's urgency and this longing and this just swell of pride and also, you know, sadness that I feel on another level as a mom, to be singing the song and reflecting on what did he do with his life and what did he achieve? Does anyone know? Do you even know his name? That just puts a whole, I would say it puts another spin on it. I really feel like I'm singing a different song. There is I feel like a responsibility and a reverence that all music is due. And when you perform it, there's your responsibility to care for that in a right way. Yes, it's creative and objective and to be enjoyed by all, but it's hard. Music is hard. I watched my husband work his tail off providing for us and also, you know, loving music and being creative. It's a grind. And so how you do anything is how you do everything, right? So it's just important to convey that in what I feel like is probably the way that it was meant to be conveyed when it was written. I did my best at the 14-year-old, but now I feel like I can really sing it from a different place, a stronger, beautiful place, a different place.
Do you have anything else to say about the song, Miranda?
It's just a really, really fun song to sing. And so, and also has a lot of healing in it for me, because then the place of being that little girl who was singing that song, there was a lot of one that I've healed from and grown from now as an adult too. And so it feels all very important to get to sing that song again as a mom. So I'm just really grateful for that song and for you asking me to sing
well,
it again.
Well, thank you so much for doing that and for doing it with us. Just you brought up another thing. I know all of you have had this experience. Songs, whatever you learned that song, whatever song it is that you sing, it just, every time you sing it, it brings back that world, right? And so to try to kind of bring it to a new world is something I never have ever asked anyone to do before. I've never felt like it was a worthy endeavor. You know, I always thought just leave that song where it is and let's learn a new song. Let's move on and learn. And there's so many songs, but I thought this one, because actually, yeah, that it's one that Miranda brought up first and reminded me of as well. And then, when we were talking about bringing her singing into more of a healthy place as an adult, then when you're a kiddo, you know, and you've got whatever kiddo things, teenage things are affecting you. It has been really interesting to watch your growth in that area, Miranda. So it's, I would never ask anyone to do that. I think that's the hardest thing to do is what you're doing, but it came out really, really, really great. So, we got just like two or three minutes left. I'd like everybody to say whatever they want to say. Just open your mic and say what you feel in your heart to Miranda or to each other or to our audience.
Well, it's good to see everybody. Thank you, Miranda Burrow. Really inspiring. I don't know it, but I can call it maybe a testimony. And was very, very touching and very spiritual, and we all have mothers, so we know.
I'm really grateful for all the things that you shared, and I feel like I have a really broad picture of what it was like, you know, sort of the whole scope of your whole life, going from the music being everything, and then what you did to make the space for your family and your children and your husband, and then how music is like, you know, it was just there waiting for you till the time was right and said, you know, here I am, let's keep going. And it's a beautiful, it's a beautiful story. And I also had the feeling to say before we stop that I bet your children are really loving that you're singing more. I think you did mention that, but I can just imagine that it must be wonderful for them as well.
Yeah, Miranda, your story was so inspirational and echoes a lot of what I research women composers, actually, and do a lot with women composers. And a lot of them, similarly to you, you know, have kind of start out, you know, writing a lot of music, doing a lot of things, but then, you know, they take on a more traditional role of a wife or a mother. And then those things sadly don't get to see the light of day for a while. They don't publish, et cetera. So your story really hits me as a woman too, you know, not necessarily even having been a mother, but just as a woman and societal expectations, you know, that, you know, I cried. I was crying like inside for you that you felt so alone, you know, and society still needs to do a better job for women in those situations. I think I just read The Feminine Mystique. I don't know if anybody's ever read that, Betty Friedan. And it's like so powerful. And I don't know if you would enjoy it at this stage too, but like you're a rock star, you are. And your experiences just really resonate with me as a woman in the 21st century. So thank you for being that. And and good luck to you. I would love to follow more of what you are doing out there. I hope you keep us informed about all of those beautiful things.
Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. Yeah. And I wanted to add thing I'll go with what you and Joyce were just saying. And that is my husband has always encouraged me to sing. I think part of me felt like, I just kind of assumed the role, you know. I watched my mom raise me and kind of the same. And my mom, you know, didn't do a whole lot of intentional self-care, which I think is something that if she could, but that was just how she was raised again, you know. So I watched her do some self-care, but I feel like I'm doing more than she did. And I hope my girl will have that realization and do that. But my husband has actually said these words to me this year, and that was, Maria, your new job this season in life, with Cohen going off to school and the other two old enough to be handling a lot of things themselves, is to do what brings you joy, find what brings you joy. If you want to take a cooking class, take a cooking class. If you want to sing, you want to go do a gig, do a gig. You want to write, go do a write. I'll set you up, but we'll get you, you know. So he is my number one fan and partner, and I am so grateful to him and the encouragement of friends and family too. But he is amazing, and then my kids encouraging me too and coming to listen and cheering me on at my concerts, and even at bedtime, just telling me, you know, how wonderful it is that we sing at bedtime. So it matters, you know. Don't squash that little voice inside yourself. If I could tell anyone ever, you know, listen to who you are. Yeah. Don't squash that.
Miranda, I wanted to say thank you so much for your honesty and your insight. And I thought it was really interesting. There was one thing that you said there at the end of, I think, one of your last answers, which unless I misheard you, I think that what you said, I'm not even sure if you kind of said it almost in passing, but you said, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And I was like, when you said that, I was kind of startled, because I think that, I believe the same thing. And I think that whether it's some of my students or my family members or whoever it is that I talk to, I think disagree with me. I think they disagree with me. I think they think, you know, well, you know, we just got to do this now, you know, it's going to get, you know, we're just surviving, we're just dealing with our lives, we're just, you know, and then we'll kind of do, but that is the way I really believe. That's something that I really believe. And to hear another person say that in such a kind of earnest, you know, way, almost in passing, And I think I don't remember if it was in the influences question, but it might have been in the influences answer. And it made me think, you know, I think you and I had the same teacher. It reminds me that you and I had the same teacher. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. And I think that that is a really inspiring thing. That's something that I took from Susan. And that's something that I kind of employ throughout my life. And it was so kind of a breath of fresh air to hear someone else say that. And that was just really special for me. And that's something that I'm going to be thinking about for a few weeks now. So thank you so much. Thank you for that.
I just want to add one thing. We are all now each other's teachers. And I think you've all probably realized that at one point or another. So that's really quite reassuring these days. Sometimes just to have people that have the same blood going through their veins, and it has a great melody. Okay, so that's enough. Thank you.
All right, so let's wrap this up a little bit. And I think this has been, for me, such an inspiring day, and such an inspiring podcast. And Miranda, you're an inspiration to me, as is everybody else in this group. What you're doing in your lives, what you're doing to share your joy and your love in the world through music is the most important work that we can do. And I want us all to remember to keep doing it, no matter in what level or what way we're doing it. And just as a way of wrapping up, if anybody, Rich has already told us about his project in the end of July. He's going to be doing his Christmas cantata called The Heart's Journey. Joyce Wells has some things going on. You want to say a thing or two, Joyce? You don't have to if you want to, about what you're doing in your career. And same with Heather Petro, the same with Joseph Garate. Any of you want to say anything before we leave to say to our audience, to say, tell Miranda, you know, this is what's going on in my life. You guys know I have a CD that's been taking all my time recording my own songs. I'm about ready to be done with that CD. And of course, this Power of Singing podcast is also super important to me. Joyce, Heather, or Joseph, would you like to say anything about what you're doing? Or
I'm always happy to talk. Yes, I am working on a project that is just sort of, I don't know, maybe halfway through, getting halfway through. Again, featuring a woman composer named Cecilia Livingston. Cecilia is a living composer, and she's written this beautiful work called Penelope. And I came across it during the pandemic. And for me, it was a little bit like what Miranda talked about. Like, I was feeling through the music and the words and the lyrics my own experience. So I really connected with the song, and I thought it deserved more of a chance to be out there and people could hear it and connect with it. So I'm raising money for a film version of the song. And that's something that's been really a learning curve and also very inspiring to me to help, you know, women's music be heard in the 21st century way of film. So, yeah, that's my big deal at the moment.
The Penelope Project. Look it up, y'all.
I'm just right now working, learning more about teaching and helping people with their singing. I'm taking a training in learning to work with hatha yoga and singing, and just getting more and more things to help people to enjoy your sound, which is what. So I'm trying to find more. Anybody who wants to enjoy their sound, I'm looking for ways for them to find me to help them with that. That's basically what I've been doing. I'm writing songs for babies. I've written several songs for babies that are about to be born. And I just am working on another one right now for one that's going to be born in a couple of weeks. So that goes into the Mother's Day podcast, doesn't it? I write songs about for coming babies.
It sure does. It's a perfect fit in for that. If you're interested in, if you're having a baby pretty soon and you want a personalized, tailored song, little lullaby that you could sing just for your little one, Joyce Wells is your woman to find. And that is at enjoyyoursound.com. So find her there. Joseph, do you have anything you'd like to add, mister?
Not particularly. I'm normally just in the middle of several projects. And so please, it's possible that if you're listening to this, you've already done so, but please check out the santoshavoicegroup.com, and we are going to, and sign up for the mailing list, and we are going to be posting and talking about the things that each of us are also involved in. So you can do that. You can also follow me on Instagram, just my name, Joseph Garate, Josephgarate, and I'll be posting stuff there. But otherwise, thank you so much for everything. And thanks for hanging out with us. And thank you for supporting us and listening. And we really appreciate it.
Yeah, we love all y'all that are listening. And we'll be back again next season. This is the end of season two. And thank you, Miranda, for being an excellent, perfect grace note for the end of our season and for Mother's Day. And to everybody out there, happy Mother's Day. If you're a mother, and please say happy Mother's Day to anybody who's mothered you, whether they're your mother or not, and grandmothers and aunts and uncles and all the people who mother you. And they don't have to just be women. There are lots of great male mothers out there. So thank you again. And I guess that's it. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you all so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know start.